Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, concerns are being raised about the performance of President Joe Biden last night in the first presidential debate, which was held in Atlanta. Democrats had hoped the head-to-head on CNN would allay voter fears that President Biden's performance wasn't that he was too old, in effect, for another term in office. But a slow start from the current president has now seen senior Democrats, including heavyweight David Plouffe, expressing major concerns about his performance. Let's take a listen to some of what happened. Here's President Biden losing his train of thought whilst trying to make a point about raising more taxes from billionaires.
We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, childcare, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our healthcare system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with everything we have to do with, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare.
And that was Donald Trump obviously responding. But meanwhile, Trump was challenged by Biden on some of his claims around Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine.
He never would have invaded Ukraine. Never. Just like Israel would have never been invaded in a million years by Hamas. You know why? Because Iran was broke with me. I wouldn't let anybody do business with them. They ran out of money. They were broke. They had no money for Hamas. They had no money for anything. No money for terror. That's why you had no terror at all during my administration. This place, the whole world is blowing up under him.
President Biden.
Never heard so much malarkey in my whole life. Look, the fact of the matter is that we're in a situation where, let's take the last point first. Iran attacked American troops, caused brain damage for a number of these troops, and he did nothing about it.
That was Joe Biden's response to Donald Trump's assertions about his record on global security. Well, for more on this, we're joined now by Scott Lucas, Professor of US and International Politics at the Clinton Institute in UCD, Greg Swenson, Republicans Overseas UK, and Natasha Linstedt, Professor of Government at the University of Essex. To you first, Scott. What did you make of it?
Pray for America today. Pray for all of us. Because on one side, we had a poor presentation by the current U.S. president, who looked frail, who was far from concise. And on the other side, you had a convicted felon, a sex abuser, a fraudster, a man who pursued an attempted coup less than 4 years ago, who lied from start to finish about the critical issues facing America. In the most important election probably since 1865. He lied about abortion. He lied about immigration repeatedly. He lied from the outset about the economy. He lied about climate change. He lied about foreign policy issues vital to our security in Ireland, be it NATO, be it Russia, Ukraine, or the Middle East. And above all else, he lied about his role in January 6, 2021, when he illegally tried to overturn the 2020 election. And my worry here is, because we're probably going to get this from Greg in just a second, is that the media now for days on end is going to be led into an exclusive discussion about Biden's age and mental state while ignoring Trump's age and mental state, setting aside all those issues where you're at the point of effectively accepting or bowing down to, as many Trumpists do, a man who repeated last night that on day one of his administration, if he gets back into the White House, he will run it like a dictator and go after his political enemies.
Greg Swenson from Republican Overseas UK. This is presumably what the Republican Party would have wanted from the debate. The discussion is not about the character of Donald Trump, but the performance of Joe Biden.
I'm not sure of that. I think that, you know, beware what you wish for. I think that this, I agree with Scott. You know, it was a sad day for America. It was not a good look for the United States to have President Biden in that condition last night. And I think in many ways, it's been a bit of a cover-up, by the inner circle in the White House, by the press secretary, by Dr. Jill Biden, even by, you know, the media that have been sort of covering up for President Biden all this time. And last night, I think, you know, was kind of exposed that, you know, not only his problems, but that so many other people were complicit in the scam. And I think it's been exposed now. So, you know, this could mean another candidate steps in, and that's probably not good for President Trump, because I think he could lose to a different candidate.
It's a pretty incendiary use of language to describe it as a scam. It was a 2-hour debate. It's the first time either of them have done a 2-hour debate. His interactions with the media have been limited heretofore, but it's entirely possible that maybe Joe Biden is better on paper than he is in person, no?
Potentially, but I think, you know, maybe that's, it's not a gift that he has, you know, the debating or oratory. And I don't think that President Trump is particularly good at it either. But I think last night, it almost doesn't matter what Trump was saying, you know, agree with him or not. I think it was more the debacle of President Biden's performance. And so I'm not sure it's just one bad night. I don't know that. I mean, and it's not just the right wing media that's going berserk on this. It's the left wing media, and it's also, you know, senior Democrats. You mentioned Donald Plouffe, but, you know, Van Jones was commenting last night. You had the former press secretary that's now a commentator at CNN. I mean, basically, CNN, New York Times, they've all come out in a sort of to a certain degree in shock today. I don't think many of us are shocked, and it wasn't really a surprise to me. I mean, maybe the degree to which he deteriorated. But again, it's not a good moment for America. And I don't necessarily think it's a good moment for the Trump campaign, because this could backfire.
All right. Before I go to Natasha, do you want to address anything about that Scott had to say about Trump's relationship with the truth?
Well, you know, look, we're always going to, Scott and I are going to disagree on a lot of things, but I would definitely concur that, you know, President Trump is prone to, shall I say, hyperbole and exaggeration. But that's not anything new. So much of Scott's comments, you know, while some of them I'll agree with, some of them I won't, but, you know, it's sort of old news. And I think, you know, the fact that Biden's administration, his presidency, has been such a disaster for Americans, I think that's what people care about right now. If you look at the issues, where they rank, it's inflation, it's the border crisis, and it's foreign policy.
All right, Scott, briefly.
I think you've just seen the tactics that Trumpist will use, like Greg. First of all, exaggerating and talking about a conspiracy theory or a scam. Greg's falsely said that Biden has dementia. Secondly, excusing Trump's lies and say, oh, they're not really that important. And thirdly, failing to tell the truth and address the issues, where Greg has just lied, actually.
We're not going to get down the road of accusations of that nature. Greg, I will let you back to respond to that, but Scott, if we can keep the language moderate, please.
Well, I'm just going to say that Greg may have been unwittingly wrong, because when he in fact talks about inflation, he probably knows that inflation has come down month on month over the past, in fact, for more than a year. He probably knows that what Trump said last night about immigration and the border crisis, that millions of immigrants are flooding and committing crimes in the United States, is a scare tactic and is untrue. And it's really, that's the problem, is that Greg, in that reasonable way, excuses Trump's lies and then actually magnifies them by throwing out unsupported assertions.
All right, do you want to respond in that reasonable way, Greg?
Yeah, of course. And look, first of all, I never mentioned the word dementia. There's some obvious cognitive challenges.
We're not going to relitigate previous interviews on this program. Let's just deal with the facts in front of us today.
Thanks. Thank you. And look, the trend on inflation is better, but it's just a trend. So you have a 3-year inflation up at 19.8%. And that's what people care about right now. And that's just not me, Scott. That's the voters.
That's actually a false statistic.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we don't have access to the CNN fact check right now here in real time in the moment. But I want to go to Natasha Linstead, who's professor of government at Essex University. Natasha Linstead, the performance last night, it is going to cause perhaps a crisis within the Democratic Party. But what can be done now?
know, there's a major crisis. And so it's common that an incumbent president has a really bad first debate. I mean, this has happened to Reagan in 84 and Bush Sr. in 92, Bush Jr. in 2004, Obama in 2012. But never has there been such open discussion about replacing a candidate and just such huge concerns about a candidate's age. And the split screen didn't help last night. I thought the mute button would help Biden, but it didn't. It made Trump seem, I guess, less obnoxious. It was a really bad night, particularly if you compare it to the State of the Union address where Biden did really well. I think his team had too many facts for him to remember. He didn't focus as much on just sort of being himself, and he wasn't feeling particularly well. But now they're kind of openly discussing who could replace him. But the conversation, you know, has maybe Gavin Newsom, but his approval rating is like 52% in California. You have maybe governors of Illinois or Michigan or Colorado or Pennsylvania. They all won by double digits, but they're I don't think they're likely to come forward. I mean, some people said Bernie Sanders, but he's a year older, and Kamala Harris would be the likely choice, but her approval rating is worse than Biden's.
Right.
So I'm not sure what the Democrats are going to do. The next debate is in September, and of course the nomination will happen well before that. They may advise Biden that he's going to have to own it and just take some responsibility that was a really bad debate, and I'm going to do better. Or they may be scrambling to try to find someone else. But, I mean, never have we had this kind of situation where you try to bring in a new candidate at this late stage. I've heard of people talking about because this is such an important election and the state of democracy is at stake here that they may try to find maybe like even a mixed candidate, a unity candidate with a Republican and Democrat running. That's actually something that's been done in other countries, but I don't see that happening. These are all pretty far-fetched scenarios.
What kind of a Mitt Romney character? Is it a moderate Republican who may get Democrat votes? Is that the kind of...
Yeah, a moderate Republican running with a Democrat. I mean, like I said, this is something that has happened in other countries when there's a pivotal election to try to save democracy. There's unity amongst the opposition to do whatever it takes, but I don't see any of this happening. Right. I think the Democrats are in real trouble.
And what are the mechanics of even changing horses at this stage? I mean, the last precedent people cite of things going badly for the Democrats to this level is, you know, 1968. But at that point, the incumbent had willingly left the stage. That's far from clear that would happen this time around.
Right. There's concerns of, well, who would convince Biden to step down? There may be elder statesmen like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and some say maybe it's only his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, that could do it. And, you know, he's a really proud, stubborn man. He just may find that just completely ludicrous that he should step down. I think he believes in his heart that he has the best chance of beating Trump. That's not true. I think that, you know, he was doing better at getting away from all the narratives around his age. I mean, if you think about it, Trump is a terrible candidate. He's a convicted felon. He can't even travel to some of the countries he's going to have to travel to if he were to become president, let alone the fact that he is admitted that he's going to basically make the country some sort of little dictatorship. So he's a terrible, terrible candidate. And yet all we're talking about is Joe Biden's age, and that debate last night did not help.
All right. Greg Swenson, it does seem remarkable that somebody who didn't even concede that they lost the election last time round is a credible candidate for the Republican Party, but yet he's doing well in the polls. What would he welcome in terms of an opponent? A new, fresh Democrat or continuing with Biden? Or does he care at this point because the momentum would appear to be with him?
Yeah, I'm quite sure. I'm speculating, I should say, that President Trump really wants Biden to be the candidate. And I think the Democrats would be wise to pick someone else, and they should have done it 2 years ago and had an open nomination process. They did a good job of keeping, for example, Dean Phillips, a congressman from Minnesota, keeping him off the ballot in several states, I think Florida and North Carolina. And so I think they've done they've actually protected Biden from the natural nomination process. So you mentioned LBJ in 68, you know, that was pretty early on. I think he resigned in maybe March of 68. So it allowed plenty of time for the process to work out. So I think, you know, they might poem or talking into it. And you're absolutely right. There's really no mechanism in place. The 25th Amendment would be very difficult. It's never been used, actually. It'd be very difficult to execute that. So perhaps the elder statesman will be having a heavy conversation with President Biden.
Scott Lucas, the prospect now is, and we'll be talking about this later in the programme, that on the other side of the Atlantic, Marine Le Pen's party has a very good chance of taking power in France. Donald Trump has a very good chance of taking power in the US now. On the international stage, things have changed a hell of a lot in 6 months, and many would argue not for the better.
I think Natasha nailed it when she said the future of democracy, including the U.S. system, is at stake, because that's true in other countries as well. And I think what you're seeing here is that the prospect of hard right candidates or candidates who specialize in disinformation to the point of appeasing Russia, to the point of cutting off aid to Ukraine, you could have that in France and in the United States, where I think it's probably vital, given how dysfunctional the American system is, with regret, that we here in Ireland and we here in Europe need to make preparations now for our security, need to make preparations for our economic welfare and for the welfare of the countries across this continent, anticipating that the real challenges, the real threats to come, will be from a former ally in the United States.
All right. My thanks to Greg Swenson, Republicans Overseas UK, Natasha Linstead, Professor of Government at the University of Essex, and Scott Lucas, Professor of US and International Relations at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Coming up, further strike action on the cards from Aer Lingus pilots. We'll bring you the latest on that.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.